For those who haven't met me yet, I'm Bob Grimes. I run Grimes Acoustics. That's it. I run the whole show. Come on up to my room and hear what I do. We're going to talk about quarter wave generators, which is what my expertise is, and the main speakers that I design work that way. You hear the term transmission line? Well, one thing they're not is transmission line. You think of transmission line electrically. The input goes to the output with no reflection. The impedance at one end is the same as the impedance at the other end. When you think about audio, you've got a driver piece of paper at this end, an error at this end. It can't possibly work. Also, an electrical transmission line has no reflection back into the source. But quarter wave pipes all have reflections. So it really isn't. But we'll talk about that as we go. The items we're going to talk about is a straight PL, negative taper, a positive taper, or a baud pipes. Actually, if you look at baud's patent, it doesn't apply to this, but the name is stuck anyway. And then mass loaded transmission lines, which I do best. This is all done by simulation. I'm using Martin King's MathCAD worksheets. He's the guru on pipes, horns. This software works very well on everything from ported boxes up to full-blown horns, front or backwards. Not our expert. Oh, by the way, this is a seminar. This is not a lecture. If you have a question, we'll hit it as we go. I've got an outline. The driver I'm simulating is the Fostex FE-167E. Come up to my room, that's the one in the little pipes. I've chose this driver for the simulations because it's a mid-Q, mid-BAS driver. It works in just about anything. It works better in some things than others, but it can be worked into anything. How well does the model approximate the real life? That little pipe I've got up there, the heavy black line is real, the gray line is a simulation. This is the driver, the red line is the real, the maroon line is the simulation, and this is the port output, the blue, same thing. As you can see, the simulation works pretty close to real life. I believe it. I use it. Now, what I've done for these simulations is to sort of make everything somewhat compatible is the pipe tuning frequency is the same as the resonant frequency of the driver, which is about 50 hertz. I'm trying to make the pipe volume roughly equivalent to the VAS of the driver, which is 32 liters. Now, except for the straight transmission line, which I'm using as a baseline, I've moved the driver to a position that will cancel either the first or second overtone. And this is required to make any usable transmission line speaker. The volume of the box is equal to VAS of the driver. That's where you start. I've adjusted the parameters of the various pipes so that this is roughly true. And you'll see that as we go. I've changed the length, I've changed the size of the mouth, the size of the port.
Which is more important? Is the length of the volume pipe or starting to do frequency?
For this simulation, I've done both. It just baselines the thing. This is not necessarily a practical design exercise. This is a demonstration of what happens. Okay? Okay, the transmission line. You got the driver at one end, open to the air at the other end. To get the resonance at 50 hertz, the length winds up being 62 and a half inches. I've established the cross-sectional area at 3 times SD. All of this works out to make the resonant frequency 50 hertz. This is what it looks like. Because this is a closed pipe, it's closed at one end, you get nothing but odd harmonics. No even harmonics at all. So this is the resonant frequency, then 3 times, 5 times, 7 times, etc. As the pipe resonates, it stops the vibration of the tone. The tone stops, the cord vibrates, and vice versa. Every other resonance is out of phase. So you get in phase, out of phase, in phase, out of phase. And that's what the basic transmission line looks like. Sir? It just changed according to the taper. As you taper a pipe, the position of the resonances move. They are not linear. There's a frequency-dependent relationship. And you will see that particularly when we start mass loading. This is what the impedance looks like. This looks like a standard resonant box. You've seen this with phase reflex. It works essentially the same for a transmission line. At the resonance, you've got the minimum impedance. You've got the basic two peaks, and then you get other peaks at each of the harmonic frequencies. It's straightforward stuff. Okay, now what you've seen is you get a sharp cutoff, 24 dBs, it's a fourth order cutoff, double hump impedance. And at the bottom end, you get a lot of support. So you get a lot of base output. We'll go back and talk about that later in terms of using this as a subwoofer as opposed to using it as a full range speaker. The rules become different. We talked about the ports are out of phase with the driver. And one thing in designing, and this applies to phase reflex as well as applying to quarter wave resonators, you don't want a QB3 response, flat cutoff. It'll boom like mad in any reasonable room. Or if you're going to design them to play in the Superdome, well, maybe not. But in any reasonable listening room, you don't want to use a QB3 type response. Okay, let's stuff this thing. Normal stuffing is polyfill, or fiberglass, or wool. Take your pick. They all work pretty much the same. The wool is favored by those who favor the straight transmission lines. Okay. If you mock proof it, it's all right. Fiberglass is probably the best overall. Some people are afraid of fiberglass. I don't think you're going to get siliconosis with fiberglass, but some people are afraid of it. What I do is I line rather than fill. And it works out reasonably well. With a light fill or lining with 5/8 inch high density fiberglass, you get this. The humps essentially go away. But you still have them out of phase. So you've still got fairly steep humps and valleys out beyond the main first resonance. Now, 3M 77. Not a question. Spray it on the back of the fiberglass. Yes, exactly. Armstrong
monitor? I forgot.
Yeah, it's on my website. If you go down to Lowe's, you have to buy it in case of 12. They don't sell them single anymore. But I use enough of it, it's not a problem. Okay, let's stuff the thing heavily. Let's fill the whole thing full of stuffing. You get rid of all of our money. And it's essentially an infinite baffle in a finite space. Probably not bad if you're going to do for a subwoofer. Let's go back. Talking about subwoofers, if you've got a driver that's going to resonate over here, cut the thing off here, great for subwoofer. Not very good for full range, but good for subwoofer. It's a 2.5 open pipe. Yeah, good quarter wave, and there you go. And contrary to what Bradbury said, it doesn't change the speed of sound, it doesn't change the length of the plate. The stuff isn't moving, it's just a resistance. Okay, back to the top. Oh, one last thing. When you heavily stuff it, you get the classic transmission line response. Remove the first hump, you get just the single hump. And if you read the literature on classic transmission lines, that's what you're looking for. Do it that way, but there we go. Okay, let's look at a negative tapered pipe. Notice what happens to the length. The length drops to 48 as opposed to 62.5. Now I'm running at 3SD at this end and 1SD at that end. Driver I positioned at about 20% of the length. That does this. It kills the second overtone. And the rest of the second, the fourth, etc., etc., overtones. So you get a longer flat here. And these peaks and valleys are now closer to the blue curve, which I failed to explain. That is the driver on an infinite path. Stick it in the middle of the board, that's the response you get. Use that sort of as a baseline to see what you're doing, how much output you're getting. So it gives a longer flat here and less distance to this flat than this flat. Okay, let's put a little stuffing in. This is lightning, light stuffing or a line. You can see that this is fairly usable. That's a 5 dB range there. So you're almost plus or minus 3 dBs throughout the range. That becomes usable. I don't have a pair of these here because I just can't afford to keep those drivers available. They're $700 a pair, closer to $800 a pair. But that's an example of a negative tapered transmission line, 6-to-1 taper, and using a Fostex F200A, you'll get down into the low 30s with power. It's a good way to go. Let's go on to a not so good way to go. This is the Vought pipe. I'm sure you've seen pictures of the Lowther Club of Norway Vought pipe. Note what happens to the length. Remember that the length is taper dependent. When it was straight, it was 62. When it negatively tapered, it dropped down to 48. Positive taper, it's all the way up to 84. This goes to essentially a point. Let me make a point about that. If you're going to use a low Q driver, you can get away with a pointy box. But if you're going to use anything that's over about 0.25 QTS, up into the threes, this is never going to work. The reason it doesn't work is it does not kill these pumps nearly as well. Now again, we've got the driver position to kill the second overtone. But when we put the stuffing in it, note how much kinkier it is. And that Lothar Club of Norway pipe, which has got the wrong driver in the wrong place with way too much port opening, it's even worse than this. But this is better output than it. The stuff I do, I like to see in 0.3 or higher, though I've had success getting down into the mid-20s. You don't want to get over about 0.4. When you're up in that range, you really want to put them in a sealed box or even on an open valve. Okay, the answer is the mass loaded quarter wave pipe. It is not pointy. You have a port tube. What this does is it inductively loads the pipe. So a lot of the length goes into that. We're getting to a point where how many of you remember CB radios? That big coil at the bottom of the CB radio, so you've got your quarter wave antennas only about that long. It's the same philosophy, same type of physics. I've got half an SD at the closed end and 3 SD at the open end. The driver is now halfway down the pipe. They're not working with the second harmonic, or the second overtone rather. Working with the first one. The things have moved down the pipe and compressed themselves at the port end because a lot of the pipe now is in the port. Look how that flattens the test. You just got spikes where the phase reverses. We've added a port, port two. As an aside, I have worked with both ports and slots at the bottom. When you use a slot at the bottom, you get a lot of trash right in here. Some of it is not damped up. Some of it will pass through the pipe. I've had better luck moving the port up about 4 inches off the bottom. What it does is there's generally 3 little feet sitting in here. You put the port till the middle one. It flattens all that stuff at the top end there. Here's what it does with light stuff. It's amazing. I don't have any of those in my line. These are Martin Kings. You've probably seen those on the internet. Very nice speaker, and that actually uses the FE-164, which was the predecessor to the 167. About $70 piece. Very nice driver. I have them in the small pipes upstairs. You might want to come and give them a listen. Okay, the mass-loaded transmission line. I don't like that term, transmission line, but unfortunately, this term has gotten into the, at least the DIY literature, as there it is. It's completely straight with a port. Again, I cut that bolted port at the bottom to slot, move the port up, About 4 inches up is about the right place to put the drivers at a quarter of the length of the pipe. 40 inches now gets us 50 hertz. Remember, it was 62 for an open pipe. Now, again, we're damping out the second overtone. We're getting the flats very much closer to the infinite baffle curve. Well, we're getting quite a bit of output, about an end. And this just happens to come up where you need baffle step correction. So part of the baffle step correction is already taken care of in the output of the port. You don't need nearly as much of a filter on. And that flattens out to look something like this. The dotted line is the infinite baffle. If you're going to use this driver on an infinite baffle, you probably want to cut it off somewhere around 200 or so. Where I would cut it off is where you get your floor mounts. Figure out where it's going to be based on whatever distance you're going to be listening from them, and then make your cutoff cross over to your sub, your woofer, at the floor bounce frequency. There's an example. That is not the curve that goes with those speakers. These have been optimized. The simulation has not been optimized. These go down with an F3 of 40. A little bit bigger port, a little bit more volume. Copy them, Melissa? Okay, summing up the length requirements to get 50 hertz out of the pipe. Here's the straight, here's the negative. If you go negative taper, you are indeed inductively loading the pipe. Even though you have not put a mass port on the bottom end, just by doing the negative taper, you inductively load it. When you positive load it, you're capacitively loading the pipe. So the length increases. Now, this is, in all practicality, a true horn. So, think about it in terms of a horn, and then as you flare the thing out, you start getting horn loading, and you lose your quarter wave. One point on the simulations. This simulation and the set of primitive equations works for everything from a ported box to full-blown horns. It's all a continuum. There is no break between one and the other. Ported box is a quarter wave resonator, sort of. It's a horn, sort of. If you do this, you do a positive load, you will pick up some sensitivity. And this is why it works better with a low Q driver, where you need the pickup sensitivity. If you use it with a high Q driver, you're going to wind up peaky in the bass. You're going to have too much sensitivity in the bass to mask the rest of it. But now you got to do something with it. It depends. Yeah, it's one of those things that you have to sit down and play with a model. I've tried to do rules of thumb. And I've given up on the rules of thumb. What you got to do is you take your driver, you sit down with the box you think it'll work in, you run the simulations all night until you get something that works, or prove to yourself that, no, this is not going to work in this type of cab. Mass loading transmission lines are the shortest for the resonant frequency. Sir? I have not. The reason I have not is you get enough mass loading through a high taper ratio that you don't need port loading. The cabinet I showed you is 6-to-1. And that is plenty of loading to get into the mid-30s or low-30s. That's about all you really want to go with a single ring, single driver speaker. All right, folks, I am through. Are there any questions that I haven't covered? Yeah, what you generally want to do is you'll keep the width the same, top to bottom. If you taper both ways, you wind up with a quadratic taper rather than a linear taper. Yeah, and things get very interesting in trying to put it into a model. If you use the same cross-section, or the same width all the way through, you can model the thing with just 2 points. If you model it with a quadratic taper, you've got to simulate it with steps. The more steps, the better the simulation, the longer it takes to run. You change anything, and now you've got to change all your steps. For the mass loaded ones, like the ones I've got upstairs, it is exactly 1/4 of the way down. That's the physics of the thing. With a straight pipe mass loaded, doesn't matter a whole lot what the mass is, it's going to be 1/4 of the way down. With a negative taper, it works out somewhere about 20%, and with a positive taper, somewhere around halfway down.
That's one of the points he was making, but don't really put the third in our minds.
He's right and he's wrong. He's right in that, yes, you want it acoustically 1/3 of the way down. But when you mass load it, that ain't where it is physically. Because as you mass load it, again, you've got this inductive loading at the bottom. And it's moved into the port and into the mass loaded. So it's farther down than you think it ought to be. That's the way that works. And it's real hard to do a rule of thumb on this, because how much mass loading are you going to have to put into your box to get it down to where you want the cutoff to be? The fiberglass is killing upper harmonics. The driver is set in there to get third harmonic, and by default, it ameliorates the first non-harmonic over time. It's actually the third harmonic, but it's, you know what I mean. The upper ones go away in fiberglass. Also, the fiberglass kills anything that happens to be going across the pipe. By aligning the thing with the high-density fiberglass like this, I don't care what the cross-section looks like. I use a square cross-section. Fours. You're going to get a maximum amount of standing waves across. But with the fiberglass in there, they go away. I've never seen them. I know what frequency I'm looking for. I look at the plots. They're not there. The ridge stuff just needs to work. Now, you could use a fiberglass bat. Generally, the fiberglass bat's 3.5 inches thick. It's going to go in 2x4 studs. That's too thick for what you need. You're going to have too much in there. So if you're going to do that, what you wind up doing is you stuff the top half or so. Yeah, what it. Generally, it's... When I build these things, I put a brace at the top of the driver and the bottom of the driver. What this does is it makes a real rigid structure so that the driver is driving all of the walls as rigid as possible. Well, that gives a nice shelf. That's where it's stuck. All right, putting it against the driver brace. This is the screw thing you put in the back of your cabinet to load the driver. You get the same result by making sure that your driver is firmly mounted to the baffle. If you're going to use screws, and these Fostex or any other stamped driver, you put washers underneath the driver so that the gasket is just compressed enough to seal. Then you tighten the screws down hard, or so the driver is not floating on the gasket material. It is a mistake to take a thick gasket material and have the driver floating on it. Now the driver's moving without putting that energy into the baffle, which chills it. That last set of BRs I just did, I used screw inserts. Screw inserts. They go in from the front. These are number 10s. Put a 3/8 inch hole and screw them in. And then put the cap screw through that. I've left them proud whatever distance I needed to keep, just seal the gasket, but no more. Then I reef up tight to those. The driver is not going to move. It's got to move the entire box. That little screw in the back, what you did was you pushed the driver up against the mounting screws, and you get the same result. Even with a stamped basket, anything that's even approximately well designed, once you get that thing mounted well by the frame, it's not going to have bell modes in the frame itself. You take a stamp driver and hold up in the air, beat on it, it rings like a bell. That doesn't happen once you get it mounted in. You think it does, you put more tight on it or duct seal or whatever happens to come by. But I don't think that tweak is necessary if you've properly mounted the driver. Sir. Yeah. You load the pipe to whatever frequency you need. Well, it's a matter of sitting down there for hours with the model and playing with it. As I say, I don't have good rules of thumb. I take a driver. This is what I want to do with it. I stick with the simulation. I change the length. I change the cross-section. I change the port. Look at the curve. See what it's doing. Hours later, I come up with an optimum design. Go on to the shop, cut up a piece of MDF and see if it works. did something wrong. I have found, like I showed you in this slide right here, that the simulations are pretty darn close to reality. They start to go away up in here, but who cares? That's, anything up here is going to get enough fiberglass anyway. It's not going to come up. When you're doing a full-blown horn, you've got a lot of things to play with. When you're dealing with BRs for the straight mass-loaded horns, I use this ported box virtue. That has very few variables on it. It's got SL, SO. Well, I set SO to ESL because they're the same. So all I have to change is the cross-section, the length, and the port. I've got four variables to play. Well, four variables is enough. Yeah, you don't need to take his paper type worksheet, for instance, which is a real bear. And it's unnecessary because the ported box does the same thing. Remember that this is a continuum. So, no, it's not a ported box. It's a quarter wave resonator. Let me take an aside here. When you're doing a straight BR, okay, if it's golden ratio or closer to a cube, you will get what you want, a Helmholtz resonator. But as you lengthen that puppy up, like you're going to build yourself a nice floor stand or NPM cabinet, the port at the bottom, drivers up here 30 inches or so, that thing is a quarter wave resonator. It's not a bass reflex. You better know that going in, or you're going to have some resonance in there that you just can't figure out. Wind IDS just won't do this, folks. And it starts to go away when the length becomes twice the depth. You start to see the quarter wave stuff show up. And by the time you get to 3-to-1, it's there. And you're getting resonances you just can't figure out why you're getting. Unless you model them this way. Oh yeah. In a lot of cases, you can move the driver and the port around to kill those. But again, you got to look at it as a quarter wave resonator, not as a Helmholtz resonator. If you're working somewhere around a third depth to height, you're not going to have the driver at the top or at the bottom. It's going to have to be both of them somewhere in between. And if you don't do that, you've got unwanted resonances that you just can't figure out. I'm not figured out if they're periodic. I just don't know. Aperiodic loading to me looks kind of like a kludge to fix something that wasn't done right in the first place. But if you got a high Q driver that you just gotta put into a sealed box, you just may have to use aperiodic loading to get rid of that peak and the cutoff. That's the way it's going to be. I don't know how much. I'm not an expert on aperiodic. I just haven't gone there. I've got other problems from the lake. Sir. You got that. Well, you are getting the support from the pipe, and it's significantly reduces the excursion. Any corded box, be it a VR or a quarter wave resonator, is going to have an excursion max at about twice your cutoff frequency. And that's going to be your limiting SPL. And there really isn't a free lunch to that. One of the reasons that the single drivers don't work real well with hard rock stuff is you've got so much energy right in where you're getting maximum excursion that you get a lot of dynamic compression. These Fostek drivers and the Lowther drivers that I use are all underhung with progressive suspensions. You cannot bottom them up. The coil comes out of the gap and it stops moving. Go back and you get dynamic compression. You can burn them up, but you can't bottom them. Oh yeah. If you use one as a mid-tweeter, which is not a bad way to go, take one of these Fostek up to 4 inches, and you put it on an infinite baffle over whatever you're going to use to cover the bottom, and then cut that thing off about 300 hertz, you can put 30 watts for it. You can get loud. It's not the way to go. Duke speakers and my speakers. His are big and powerful. Mine are intimate and finesse. He's using the big long excursion drivers. I'm using the 1 millimeter excursion. It's a different thing. He's using. How much? Yeah. See, he's using 6 millimeters. I'm using 1 millimeter. It's going to be different. The sound is different. The type of music you can play through them becomes different. It's choice. What's going to work for you? I'm selling them for $15, but I'm going to bump the price. Guys, I can't sell them this cheap.
Morgan, you got really nice stuff, but I'm selling for $1,500. I'm telling the guys to like look at $5,000 people. If you look at us, I'm going to buy this stuff. I got to jack my price up. I think I'm going to take a while to keep on down, but I'll sell them. I try to put them out. I am selling a lot of plants to GI owners.
Selling more plants, I am speaking, right? In terms of dollar volume. And yeah, that a lot of plans are out there free, but I'm able to sell them.
That is all different.
Baffle set depends on where you're going to put them. Any one of these speakers, yeah, where are we going to put them in the room? If you're going to put them out in the middle of the room, you may need the full 6 dBs of baffle set. I generally sell them with about 4. Put them up against the wall, put them in a corner, and you have to cut the base off. Mine don't work real well anymore. They will work all right on a wall. Of course, the transmission line, it's got to be on. It's got to have some breathing. Well, thank you, folks. Come on by.